Good evening. It's wonderful that you all can all gather here with us online. We're doing evening prayer for this being the fourth midweek in Lent, but also this is actually the day that we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord. So the pyramids are white. It's a little bit of Christmas here in March, but we'll get into that in the sermon. So our order of service is evening prayer. What you will find, or you will find that on page 243, evening prayer 243. Also, if you got a ribbon or a sticky note at home, we're doing Psalm 45. And so go to Psalm 45 and just put a little sticky note there. And then I will announce the hymns as we get there. So we begin on page 243. With evening prayer. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening. And the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and illumine your church. Joyous light of glory of the immortal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ, we have come to the setting of the sun, and we look to the evening light. We sing to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy of being praised with pure voices forever. O Son of God, O Giver of life, the universe proclaims your glory. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation, and we, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the King. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds.
Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Oh, hear, O daughter, and consider, and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many-colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led along, as they enter the palace of the king. In place of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore nations will praise you forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We turn to page 247. For the prayer. Let us pray. Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend on us, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, Behold, I have come to do your will. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. We now turn to hymn 384. 384. The name of the hymn is Of the Father's Love Begotten. 384.
Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending, he. Of the things that are that happen, and that future year shall see, evermore and evermore. Oh, that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race. And the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed his sacred face, evermore and evermore. This is he whom seers in old time chanted of with one accord, whom the voices of the prophets promised in their faithful word. Now he shines the long expected, let creation praise its Lord, before and evermore. O ye heights of heaven, adore him. Angel hosts his praises sing. Past all minions bow before him and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent. Every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore. Christ to thee with God the Father, and O Holy Ghost to thee, hymn and chant and high thanksgiving, and unending praises be. Honor, glory, and dominion, and eternal victory, evermore and evermore. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the fourth midweek of Lent and also for the Annunciation of our Lord comes from our Gospel reading. And the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Thus far the text. A fallen world needs more than a creator. A creator is good. But when creation is in ruins, a creator doesn't bring all that much comfort. If all that we have is a creator, then we have some serious questions that remain unanswered. What do we do with evil? What do we do with suffering and pain? What is God going to do about the fact that the whole of creation groans in agony? Sinful man needs more than a creator, too. If all that the sinner has is a creator, then the sinner is in a frightfully terrifying place. A sinner who feels the weight of sin in his own conscience needs something more than an all-powerful God somewhere up there in the heavens. A sinner who struggles to keep away the fears and anxieties of life needs more than a big and bold God who knows nothing of being afraid or anxious. A sinner who is hiding away in his house because of death and disease needs more than a God who has never had a body and never scraped a knee and never felt pain, who has never bled. Yes, fallen creation and a sinful sinner needs more than just a creator. I suppose God could have done it any way that he wanted to. From the moment that sin entered this world, he could have just wiped everything out of existence like it never happened. And God would have been justified in doing it too. Justified in just scrapping it all and starting over. Or justified in never giving us another thought and living in eternity alone forever. But maybe a God who's invested so much as to create something couldn't very well just pretend that it never happened. Perhaps such a God would have to go about fixing the world that had fallen into sin and the sinner who tossed the world into destruction. But here too, he could have gone about it any way he wanted to. The law could have been enough, I suppose. Do this and you'll live. Live up to these standards. I'll show you how to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but you are the one who's going to actually have to do the pulling. Again, God would have been justified in this. And none of us could have said otherwise. Sure, we'd be down here complaining that it wasn't fair and that the bar is set too high, but such quibbles really wouldn't hold much weight. Because I said so would have been adequate enough. And we would just have to deal with the fact that the onus was on us to make right the things that we've made wrong. But none of that really would have done us any good. Wiping us out of existence or providing us with a laundry list of do's and don'ts would have really just left us in the same place. A purely just God could have stuck with this. A God who's nothing more than a creator would have been justified in this. But it turns out we don't have that type of God. It turns out that our God is more than just a mad scientist that has no love for his inventions. It turns out that there is something more to this God of ours, something more, something that's more gracious than vindictive, more loving than fair, more merciful than judgmental. The promise stands in the word that the angel spoke to the Virgin Mary. You will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The same angel went and promised Joseph a similar promise as well. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This promise given to the two people is the same promise given to the entire human race. God is with us, and he will save his people from their sins. The Annunciation of our Lord, the day that we're celebrating today, 9 months from Christmas, is the day in which God took on our flesh, took on humanity, became man. Even there, floating down Mary's fallopian tubes as a microscopic dot, God is with us. God is one of us. This is his salvation for us, to become one of us, to be with us here in this vale of tears, to save us from our sin, from death, and from the devil. He has a body just like ours, with hands and feet that were nailed and pierced, with a bearded face that was pulled out, and a head full of hair that was crowned with thorns. He has a body like ours, susceptible to the evil of this world, even death. For here is the only man who was ever born whose sole purpose of living was so that he could die. All the rest of us were born to live. We were born to life. Death comes upon us not as a part of the plan, but as a consequence for sin. But Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was born with the intended goal to be crucified and to die. And where you and I have a human soul that was never supposed to be separated from our bodies, he was born with the same human soul with the express intent for it to be ripped from his human body at death so that he could accomplish what we could not, so that he could fix that which was broken, so that our bodies and our souls would not be eternally separated from each other. In life and in death, God has become one of us, one with us, so that he could live our life and die our death. And isn't it this very thing that we need more than anything else? Even now, as our lives are flipped completely upside down, and death threatens to be standing outside our door, even now, as this humanity of ours so greatly desires to be hugged and embraced, desires a handshake or face-to-face conversation, desires to just go out into the world and play on a playground or visit a museum or just go down to the coffee shop and interact with fellow humans. Don't we need a God who isn't so far above all of this humanness stuff, but loved us to the point of becoming one of us? Loved us to the point of sharing our everything. Loved us to the point of taking into his own fleshy body the sins that we sin and the troubles that we're troubled with and the sufferings that we suffer and the death that we die. Of course, that's the God that we need. And that's the God that we have. Emmanuel. And if God has deemed it good and right and salutary to be one of us, to be one with us, then he's also deemed it just as glorious to make us one with him. What he has, we have. What he has won, we have won. Not only did he live our life and die our death, but he has been raised in our resurrection and ascended in our ascension. Even right now, God is in the flesh. Even right now, Christ sits as both God and man at the right hand of the Father. He has elevated our human nature to the highest place in the highest heaven. Jesus is in the flesh, with all power and authority and dominion given to him. Jesus is in the flesh, with all sin and death and each and every single one of the demons placed under his human feet as a footstool. And the most glorious part of all of this is that he still is Emmanuel. Even as he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, he is still with us in real, tangible, human ways. He is with us. Fleshy bread and bloody wine. Wet water sprinkled over our heads. The word made flesh spoken into our ears. He has not abandoned us. He is with us always to the very end of the age. And again, isn't this the very thing that we need? Isn't this God with us the only thing that we need? Of course it is. And so it's ours. He is ours. Emmanuel, God with us. And so, as we continue on in this fallen world, as our daily sins continue to remind us of our fallen flesh, as unseen viruses threaten to bring us to an untimely death, as Satan continually whispers in our ears, "Where is your God now?" we have a word and a promise that is greater than all of those. It's the same word that the angel announced to both Mary and Joseph. It's a word that up till now I haven't mentioned in this sermon. The angel Gabriel speaks the word to you this day. Do not be afraid. It's a word of comfort and promise, even and especially when we are afraid. For he is Emmanuel, God with us. He took our sins into his fleshy body and crucified all of them to that tree. He took death and disease and COVID-19 and killed it all with his death. He took Satan and all his accusations and temptations and sentenced them to hell. In the flesh, God did all of this. And so as we live this life of ours, we live his life of righteousness. As we die this death of ours, we die his death which defeated death. And the day will most certainly come when we will be raised in his resurrection of eternal life, be joined in his ascension of complete and ultimate victory. The promise is sure. He is Emmanuel. He has what we have so that we can have what he has. His life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. In the name of Jesus, amen. We turn in our hymnals to the Magnificat. That can be found on page 248. 248.
Magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
We continue with the litany on page 249.
In peace let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For Matthew and Roger, for all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For Donald, for all public servants, for the government of those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the faithful who have gone before us and are with Christ, let us give thanks to the Lord. Thanks be to God. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord. To you, O Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Taught by our Lord in trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
We make our way in our hymnal to hymn 356, the angel Gabriel from heaven came. 356.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, with wings as drifted snow, with eyes as flame. All hail to thee, O lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Blessed Mother, thou shalt be all generations' Lord, and honor thee. Thy Son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored Lady, Mary meekly bowed her head. To me be as it pleaseth God, she said. My soul shall honor and magnify God's holy name, most highly favored Lady, Christ was born in Bethlehem on a Christmas morn, and Christian folk throughout the world will ever say, most highly favored Lady, oh, oh, oh.
Lord be with you.